conceited jests of George Peel, gentleman, sometimes a student in Oxford, wherein is showed the course of his life, how he lived, a man very well known in the city of London,
and elsewhere.
Buy, read,
and judge.
The price
do not grudge.
It will do thee more pleasure than twice so much treasure. London. Printed by G.P. for F. Faulkner, and are to be sold at his shop in Southwark, near St. Margaret's Hill, 1627. The Jests of George Peel, with four of his companions, at Brainford. George, with others of his associates, being merry together at the tavern, having more store of coin than usually they did possess, although they were as regardless of their silver as a garden whore is of her honesty, yet they intended, for a season, to become good husbands, if they knew how to be sparing of that their pockets were then furnished withal. 5 pounds they had amongst them, and a plot must be cast how they might be merry with extraordinary cheer 3 or 4 days, and keep their 5 pounds whole in stock. George Peel was the man must do it, or none. And generally they conjured him by their loves, his own credit, and the reputation that went on him, and withal he should have all the furtherance that in them lay. George, as easy as they earnest to be won to such an exploit, consented, and gathered their money together, and gave it all to George, who should be their purse-bearer, and the other 4 should seem as servants to George Peel. And the better to colour it, they should go change their cloaks, the one like the other, so near as they could possible, the which at Beelzebub's brother the broker's they might quickly do. This was soon accomplished, and George was furnished with his black satin suit and a pair of boots, which were as familiar to his legs as the pillory to a baker's or collier's neck, and he sufficiently possessed his friends with the whole scope of his intent, as, gentle reader, the sequel will show. Instantly they took a pair of oars, whose arms were to make a false gallop no further than Brainford, where their fare was paid them so liberally that each of them, the next tide to London, purchased 2 new waistcoats. Yet should these good benefactors come to their usual places of trade, and if they spy a better fare than their own, that happily the gentleman hath more mind to go withal, they will not only fall out with him that is of their own sweet transporters, as they are, but abuse the fare they carry with foul speeches, as a
pox, or the devil go with you,
as their godfather, Charon the ferryman of hell, hath taught them. I speak not this of all, but of some that are brought up in the east, some in the west, some in the north, but most part in the south. But for the rest, they are honest, complete men, leaning them to come to my honest George, who is now merry at the 3 Pigeons in Brainford, with sack and sugar, not any wine wanting, the musicians playing, my host drinking, my hostess dancing with the worshipful justice, for so then he was termed, who came thither of purpose to be merry with his men, because he could not so conveniently near home, by reason of a shrewish wife he had. My gentle hostess gave him all the entertainment her house could afford, for Master Peel had paid royally, for all his 5 pounds was come to 10 groats. Now George Peel's wit labours to bring in that 5 pounds there was spent, which was soon begotten, being set at dinner.
My host, quoth George, how falls the tide out for London?
Not till the evening, quoth mine host. Have you any business, sir?
Yes, marry,
quoth George.
I intend not to go home this 2 days. Therefore, my host, saddle my man a horse for London, if you be so well furnished, for I must send him for 1 bag more,
quoth George.
10 pounds hath seen no sun this 6 months.
I am ill furnished if I cannot furnish you with that, quoth mine host,
and presently saddled him a good nag, and away rides one of George's men to London, attending the good hour of his Master Peel in London. In the meantime, George bespeaks great cheer to supper, saying he expected some of his friends from London. Now, you must imagine there was not a penny owing in the house, for he had paid as liberal as Caesar, as far as Caesar's wealth went, for indeed most of the money was one Caesar's, an honest man yet living in London. But to the catastrophe. All the day before had one of the other men of George Peel been a great solicitor to my hostess. She would beg leave of his master he might go see a maid, a sweetheart of his, so far as Kingston. And before his master went to bed he would return again, saying he was sure she might command it at his master's hands. My kind hostess, willing to pleasure the young fellow, knowing in her time what belonged to such matters, went to Master Peel and moved him in it, which he angrily refused. But she was so earnest in it that she swore he should not deny her, protesting he went but to see an uncle of his some 5 miles off.
"Marry, I thank you," quoth George.
"My good hostess, would you so discredit me? Or hath the knave no more wit than at this time to go, knowing I have no horse here?
And would he, base cullion, go afoot?"
"Nay, good sir," quoth mine hostess, "be not angry. It is not his intent to go afoot, for he shall have my mare. And I will assure you, sir, upon my word, he shall be here again to have you to bed."
"Well," quoth George.
"Hostess, I'll take you at your word. Let him go.
His negligence shall light upon you."
"So be it," quoth mine hostess.
So down goeth she and sends away Civil Thomas, for so she called him, to his sweetheart backed upon her mare, which Thomas, instead of riding to Kingston, took London in his way, where meeting with my other horseman, attended the arrival of George Peel, which was not long after. They are at London, George in his chamber at Brainford, accompanied with none but one Anthony Knitt, a barber, who dined and supped with him continually, of whom he had borrowed a lute to pass away the melancholy afternoon, of which he could play as well as Banks his horse. The barber very modestly takes his leave. George obsequiously bids him to supper, who, God willing, would not fail. George, being left alone with his two supposed men, gave them the mean how to escape, and, walking in the court, George found fault with the weather, saying, "It was roarish and cold." Which word mine hostess hearing, my kind hostess fetched her husband's holiday gown, which George thankfully put about him, and withal called for a cup of sack, after which he would walk into the meadows and practice upon his lute.
"'Tis good for your worship to do so," quoth mine hostess.
Which walk George took directly to Sion, where, having the advantage of a pair of oars at hand, made this journey for London. His two associates behind had the plot in their heads, by George's instruction, for their escape, for they knew he was gone. My hostess, she was in the market, buying of provision for supper. Mine host, he was at tables, and my two masterless men desired the maids to excuse them if their master came. "For," quoth they, "we will go drink two pots with my smug smith's wife at old Brainford."
"I warrant you," quoth the maids.
So away went my men to the smith's at old Brainford, from thence to London, where they all met, and sold the horse and the mare, the gown and the lute, which money was as badly spent as it was lewdly got. How my host and my hostess looked when they saw the event of this, go but to the Three Pigeons at Brainford. You shall know.
Merry Conceited Jests of George Peel was narrated by Sarah Blake, with music by Tom Cowell. It was produced by Sounds Curious for Beyond Shakespeare.